Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
On Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Helen Holliman, and I'm back for another week of radio in Roberta's Restaurant in Bushwick, Brooklyn. And today I'm joined by a professional eater, a competitive eater, the famous Crazy Legs Conti. Thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, I'm honored to be here. Thank you, Helen.
So we have so much to talk about, but first off, how did you get your start in competitive eating?
In one word, it would be serendipity. I would say you saw the documentary, which is a modestly titled Crazy Legs Conti, Zen and the Art of Competitive Eating. I didn't title it myself, but that has footage from over 10 years ago. I was always a fan of the sport. I always went to Coney Island in the early days. Now, Nathan's contest has been around since 1916, so I wasn't there in those early days. I was there in the mid-90s. And I'm fortunate that my window cleaning boss had filmed me as a fan, and then two talented filmmakers, Danielle Franco and Chris Keneally, knew that I loved this subculture, and they thought, let's film and see what happens. And I was in New Orleans eating oysters, and I was invited to the speed eating contest at Acme, and I won't tell you how it ends up, but it's basically my transition from being a casual diner to being a gustatory gladiator, being a fan of the sport to turning pro. And I like it because now, 10 years later, I've been on the circuit, and even the documentary, which was distributed by Bill Lustig and Blue Underground, has tons of extras. So if you do Netflix, which I do, you can bump it to the top of your DVD queue and check it out. And that sort of is the encapsulated version of how I became a competitive eater. But the truth is, I loved the sport. I moved to New York in the mid-90s, and it was something that appealed to me as a fan, just to watch. And to look up on stage, and I saw Mike the Scholar DeVito's mustard stained jersey get retired to the rafters, Hungry Charles Hardy's rookie performance. Later, I saw his son Fast Eddie's rookie performance. Those were my heroes. And just to meet them, to shake their hands, was enough. To eat off their leftover plates was even better. And now it's 10 years later, and I am a major league eater, and I travel the globe eating, you know, I'm a gourmet and a gourmand. I like good food in large quantities, and I can't believe where competitive eating's taken me.
So, yeah, I mean, how long officially, like the Nathan's hot dog eating contest, that's sort of one of the first big national presence in terms of the contest, right?
That is the juggernaut that drives competitive eating, basically. July 4th, high noon, Coney Island, the original Nathan's location, still well in surf. The longest running contest. It's not the most lucrative, but it's the biggest. It's where you want to be because there's 40,000 fans. There's 2 million people watching on ESPN, and it goes worldwide. I will probably get fairly emotional as we talk about Nathan's in Coney Island, because I had a 9-year run. 9 out of 10 years, I did not make it this past July 4th. I had heartbreak and heartburn. The long and short of it is I just didn't eat enough hot dogs to qualify. You get 3 chances to qualify for the big show, and I didn't make it. But I'm just going to announce it here, Helen, that I am going to do whatever it takes in 2012 to get back to that moment,
you
to get back to
first.
High noon. And it's true because my girlfriend hates competitive eating. She'd rather do what we did, which was go to Maine and drink Gary's Pale Ale and eat lobster. And as I'm sitting at the dam in Hiram and staring at the water, I know what time it is. I'm supposed to be on the bus of champions. I'm supposed to be riding from Manhattan to Coney Island. And so when I arrive there, when I see the cyclone and the Wonder Wheel, when I see the swell of the crowd, that's where you want to be. That's your moment. It's America's independence. Like, what could be a greater celebration than the fact that everyone is barbecuing, is cooking out? They're flipping their own burgers and hot dogs, and you're in the epicenter of, call it the maelstrom of meat, you know, where it all takes place. So it's tough to get there. They now have a women's division, signed to the Black Widow Thomas, won the pink Pepto belt, which is equal to the Nathan's yellow mustard belt in terms of prestige. But that's kind of where competitive eating made its bones, so to speak. In 1997, the IFOCE, the International Federation of Competitive Eating, formed, but the Nathan's contest had been going on previously to that.
So yeah, I want to talk a little bit about that versus, you know, what is the IFOCE and then what is the MLE?
Basically, the MLE, Major League Eating, it's the rebranding of the IFOCE, because we do a lot of, I'm very verbose, but not when I'm a competitive eater. I'm eating for 6 or 8 or 10 minutes. My mouth is closed. I'm breathing through my nose. Someone, usually a guy in a blue blazer and an Italian boater hat, acts as the MC to do the play-by-play, to tell you what's going on, to introduce you to who's eating wherever we are, because Major League Eating does 60 to 70 events a year all over the world. There's a glibness to the MC. In other words, there's humor inherent in competitive eating. It's people stuffing their face, and they all have interesting nicknames, and there's backstories that are true, and odd personalities are attracted to competitive eating. But for me, there's no glibness. It is a serious sport, and I take it, I couldn't play in the NBA for the Boston Celtics. So instead of dunking basketballs, I dunk hot dog buns.
I want to talk about your nickname. How did you get the nickname?
It is my real name. People find that hard to believe. My mother is an abstract artist. She spent her youth as in Paris as William Burroughs' typist at one point, but didn't like the smell of hash. And her boyfriend at the time wanted to spend the food money on pot instead, and so she left. There are nicknames that come from the circuit. Sometimes they're bequeathed from George or Rich Shea, the two gentlemen who started the IFOC. Badlands Booker is one. I don't know if it refers to the Terrence Malick film, or I know Gersh Kunstman, the first journalist to cover competitive eating, gave Badlands his nickname, but I don't actually know where it derives from. He's from Copeg, Long Island, so it's not like he's in South Dakota.
Yeah, and there's other amazing names like Sonia the Black Widow. I mean, why is she called the Black Widow?
Well, there are a lot of females in sports history who've been known as the Black Widow, mostly because, like the spider, they kill the men. And Sonia says very specifically, I kill the men, which she does. I am 0-9 years against her. So if you're keeping track, I've come in second to her in many occasions, the World Lobster Eating Championship recently. I was in Singapore for the CP Biggest Eater 2011-2012. We're eating shrimp wontons. She ate 130 in 8 minutes. I ate 115 in 8 minutes. I came within 15 shrimp wontons. That's pretty good for me. But my mom, her favorite competitive eater is Sonia the Black Widow Thomas. She doesn't even cheer for her own son.
Well, all right. I want to get the rundown of some of the rules. Like, what are some of the general rules to be a competitive eater?
Well, to become a competitive eater, you simply go to majorleagueeating.com. You check the events page, you see what's coming to your town or your country, and you sign up ahead of time. It is like trying to get concert tickets. You really have to know when the sign up is, get your confirmation, and then pay your way. You pay your way and travel and to a place. If I'm there, there's going to be an after party. That's sort of one of my rules of competitive eating. But the actual rules at the table, whether it's 6 minutes, 8 minutes, 10 or 12 minutes, there's very few. The biggest one is you can't suffer what we call a reversal of fortune, or Elvis has left the building. Basically, we try not to use the V word or the P word for vomit or puke because you don't want to think about it.
Reversal of fortune, that's such a poetic phrase.
I've seen it happen. I've seen Ed Cookie Jarvis eating a 9-pound burger and being so far ahead of the field that he was guaranteed of winning the $1,000 and just pushing himself a little bit too hard. And I've never seen another human being have burger come out of their nose quantity that Ed Cookie Jarvis did. Somewhere there's a photo. I wish I owned it because I would blow it up. I would frame it. I'd have Cookie sign it. and it would be my favorite competitive eating photo of all time.
Watching you slurp oysters is a very unique visual experience. And how, you know, watching yourself in replays, like, how do you feel about watching yourself and others slurp down or chew or dunk
items? I don't go to the tape as much as my roommate Tim Eater ex-Janice does. He's a big, let me watch the tape to get better. I'm there. I've experienced it. Oysters is personally one of my favorites because I love New Orleans seafood. I love Acme Oysters, the, you know, from P&J, the local producer there. Rouse's Crawfish. Anytime I can get to New Orleans, my girlfriend is from there, so I'm going down anytime they have a contest there. The first year we did it, you didn't have to use a utensil. We wore chin straps to prevent the bloodied factor of hitting your chin against a shell. In subsequent years, you must use a fork. You can bring your own oyster fork. I did try to have my own signature line of oyster fork. It was an oyster spork. Did not. I wanted to offer it in copper and pewter and really bump it up a notch, but that didn't pan out. So the notion of who holds the oyster record is Sonia the Black Widow Thomas, and she did 46 dozen in 10 minutes at the time. They've shortened it to 8 minutes. But the overall record then was 51 dozen. And as she did it, and I have a friend, a musician, Din Shaw, who was in the crowd, and he said very aptly he could not, if he had a bottleneck jug, he couldn't fork those oysters and put them in the bottleneck jug as fast as Sonia was eating them. That's for a couple reasons. But one was economy of motion. In terms of studying tape, she was picking up 4 or 5 oysters, and they're served on the half shell, dozen plate. You got to finish your dozen before you move on to the next. And she was popping 4 or 5 in her mouth and swallowing them down. And after the contest, Acme, the sponsor, said, hey, do you want to break the all-time record? Meaning Boyd Boulat, who'd set it sitting at the bar in Metairie in like 4 hours. She calmly did interviews talking to the reporters as she ate another 5 dozen oysters in about a minute. So in 11 minutes, she set the all-time record. Now, Pat Deep Dish Bertoletti, the number 2 eater in the world currently, has been down the last couple years. And if Sonia's not there, Pat will generally win. I have improved. I've gotten to 29 dozen in 8 minutes. I'd like to hit the 30 mark. You know, there's a kid from Baton Rouge, Adrian the Rabbit Morgan. He seems to beat me pretty regularly now.
Do you enjoy eating oysters when you're not on the clock?
I actually love it. I love everything from the ocean. I feel like my stomach is a beacon calling the sea creatures home. So I always have one oyster after the contest, or one Rouse's Crawfish after the contest, to truly taste it. Because the fact is, you don't appreciate the food while you're eating it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you don't have the time. You're just sort of...
It's a sport. It's a marathon of eating. Even if it's 6 minutes, that's a marathon.
What is going through your head right before the contest, and then as you're eating it, can you tell us a little bit about your mental state?
I can. I have taken up yoga recently because the notion in the West is that there's this Cartesian split between the mind and the body, but yogic tradition says there isn't. They're the same thing. So I used to arrive at the table just pumped with adrenaline. I'm not somebody who listens to music, but I'd be listening in my head to the tubes. I'd be so wound up that my muscles were just, my arms and everything was, I'm right here. And that was the wrong way to do it. My girlfriend, who teaches yoga, said, you should hurry slowly. And that's probably the best advice. I've gotten advice from some great competitive eaters, but that's the best advice I've ever had. Meaning I am pumped. My adrenaline is racing. But when I hit the moment that I'm at the table, I try to calm myself as much as possible. I do a lot of alternate nostril breathing. I do a lot of things I've learned from yoga, which perhaps offends many yogis that I'm doing yoga to eat more hot dogs and buns. But for me, it's kind of the notion that I'm appreciative of the food in front of me. I'm appreciative of this collective communal meal with my closest friends in the world who happen to be competitive eaters. I'm appreciative that I'm somewhere in the world I would never have gone if it wasn't for Major League Eating, and that there's fans who want to watch this. But make no mistake, I'm blocking out the eater to my left and my right. I'm focused on my plate and my plate alone.
We have so much more to talk about with Crazy Legs Conti, but stay tuned. We're going to take a quick break. You are listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network.
I'm Sam Edwards. I'm third generation cure master from S. Wallace Edwards & Sons in Surrey, Virginia. We support the Heritage Radio Network because we believe in the cause and what they're doing. They're supporting family-raised livestock, small family farms, certified humane, pasture-raised, antibiotic-free. Basically, we take the products from Heritage Foods USA and make them into Serrano-style hams, prosciutto-style hams, bacon, sausage, like my grandfather did. You can find us at SurreyFarms.com or VirginiaTraditions.com.
Just tuning in, you are listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm still your host, Helen Holliman, and I'm joined today by competitive eater Crazy Legs Conti. Before the break, we were talking about the ins and outs of the world of professional competitive eating, and we were just discussing your mental state when you're actually in the throes of eating a hot dog or whatever the contest is. And I'm really curious to know from you, what do you think the personality type that's drawn to this sport? Because this is a very unique and, I don't know, it's such a fascinating sport to me. It's, you know.
One of the nice things that I like is that competitive eating is inclusive, not exclusive, meaning there's no age requirements. You have to be over 18 to eat, but in terms of, you know, Rich the Las Vegas Locust LeFevre ate until he was 70 and then retired from professional eating. He still crushes buffets in Vegas. Gender, male or female, we have now a Nathan's female division. So I encourage, because I've been doing it for 10 years, I want to see people enter the sport. I tell every rookie, find out what you want from the sport and make that happen. Because you can. Because I am a video game avatar, a goal I never had for myself until someone was like, do you want to be in a video game? And it's like, that seems pretty cool. And recently, I've had a resurgence in my career over the last 3 years where Major League Eating partnered with Navy Entertainment, and we've sent 15 eaters on 5 different tours overseas to entertain sailor soldiers all over the world. So Labor Day 2009, I was at Guantanamo Bay. And that, to me, is been the most important thing I've done as a competitive eater, one of the most important things I've done as a human being, say. So the important thing that people should realize is that I don't mind whatever reaction a fan has to competitive eating. It's a visceral response. Could be adulation, could be revulsion. I try to keep my equilibrium in the middle. But I am thrilled to be traveling the world talking about my favorite subject, food, and also competing in the sport that I love.
So this year was the first female competition for competitive eating at Nathan's Hot Dogs, the female hot dog eating contest. Why has it taken so long to get a female-only division?
Well, there was a notion earlier in competitive eating that there shouldn't be, you know, there's no Title IX. Everyone competes on the same stage. But the truth is, women were not coming forward, maybe based on the fact that there is a spectacle to a female eating that doesn't exist for a guy. And now there are great women on the circuit. Laurie Morell from Philadelphia, I see her at the Dorney Park for the Subway Cheesesteak Eating Contest every year. Maria Edible, who's a new eater out of Jersey, Ben's Chili Bowl. She beat me. She ate, I think, 3/4 of a gallon of chili. I did about 1/2 gallon. Cannolis in New York, she ate 11, Laurel ate 13. So we're seeing more and more the fact that women do want to enter the sport and try to compete with Sonya the Black Widow Thomas. But ultimately, it's just good to be a participant, meaning I encourage anyone, anywhere in the world, to go to MajorLeagueEating.com, find out when we're coming to your hometown or your country, and sign up. Send them an email. Say, how do I get a spot in this contest? It's an impressive time in competitive eating because the money has escalated, but more than that, the opportunity has escalated.
There's, from watching your documentary and just sort of observing on ESPN and things like that, I've noticed that there sort of seems to be two camps of competitive eaters. There's the sort of heavier set types and then the very skinny. And it seems like two different philosophies. Is there any truth to that?
It's not so much two different philosophies. I mean, of the bigger guys on the circuit, you know, Eric Badlands Booker tips the scales a little heavier than we'd like him to, say. But he's been doing it for longer than anybody. You know, notorious B.O.B., who used to be Humble Bob Shout, who I called Hubris Bob, is now the number five eater in the world. He fluctuates in his weight, but here's a guy who tried to make Nathan's for 4 years, eating in the same Philadelphia qualifier. I used to beat him by a couple hot dogs and buns, and now he beats me by at least 15, if not more. So there is the notion of not so much that weight matters, it's attrition. The road is littered with the carcasses of failed competitive eating careers because they haven't entered the sport with the right mindset. So I'm psyched when I see Notorious B.O.B. at an event. He's a so-called vegetarian at home. He's got three kids and a wife. But when he hits the circuit, he's the Skyline chili-eating champ of the world. He's the record holder. He's the Ocean City steeplechase champion. He's got titles left and right. So he's a fierce competitor. He loves the big checks. He loves to beat Joey Jaws Chestnut or Pat Deep Dish Bertoletti. And I'm psyched to see him there.
Is there any dish or anything you've eaten in the past that sort of you have the Pavlovian reaction to now where you just can't touch it? Or
I am not great with spicy food. I generally like spicy food, but last year in Chicago, I did Jake Melnick's Boot Wing Challenge, the hottest pepper in the world. They made chicken wings with it. 5-minute contest, no dairy allowed. And I did 25. The winner did 35. Normally in chicken wings, if I'm in Buffalo at the Wing Festival, I can do about 112 minutes. That's 3.4 to 3.8 pounds. I could do 25 wings in 5 minutes because the heat was so hot that my system reacted poorly, let's say. This year, the numbers went up, and Deep Dish defended his Chicago title. I'd like to say I could do the La Castaña Jalapeno Challenge at some point. World record 275 whole jalapenos in 15 minutes. I have a feeling I'd eat three, and I'd be curled up in a fetal position. And people would be like, is that guy okay?
Well, you know, looking at Nathan's and the hot dog competition, it is such a nostalgic American cultural event. And I'm curious to know your thoughts on what do you think competitive eating says about American culture?
The interesting thing is what it doesn't say, meaning the obesity epidemic, the world hunger situation. These are very complex adult issues. And competitive eating has very little to do with that. We serve really 60 large meals a year with no leftovers or very few. We have an altruistic component. Major League Eating gives, for instance, Thanksgiving. You know, Wild Turkey 81 is a sponsor of a whole turkey eating contest. And I got to give away 81 turkeys to City Harvest, a food bank in New York. I grew up in Boston. Jim Rice, Carl Yastrzemski, they gave away turkeys pre-Thanksgiving. The fact that Badlands Booker and I were on a truck giving away turkeys, that to me is the highlight, not how much poundage of turkey I consumed. But I think people should react to competitive eating. One of the nice things about a sport, I finish, I step out into the crowd. I might be covered in something. I'll take any photos. I'll chat with people. I want to talk food. So,
yeah. Have you had any health problems that you're willing to talk about from contest?
I am a healthful. I'm more of a healthful eater year-round as a competitive eater. I watch every bite, chew, and swallow of what I put in my system so that I can compete at the highest level of my sport. I love breakfast. Eating French toast 4 days in a row, 5 days in a row, is not going to get me to Coney Island at high noon. So I need to watch every single meal of the year.
What do you usually, what do you like to eat?
I do a lot of quinoa. I do a lot of oatmeal. I do a lot of normally healthful foods. I do a lot of fish. My girlfriend's almost a vegetarian at this point. I eat everything. So I try to stay in the best possible shape. I jog the Williamsburg Bridge 3 days a week. I go to the gym. I do yoga. It's a notion of I'm going to burn those calories off. But more than that, it's the mind over stomach matter. When I'm jogging, I'm thinking about competitive eating. I might be thinking about high noon all year long at Coney Island. If you see me jogging on the Williamsburg Bridge and you wave and stuff like that, I'm not listening to music. I'm thinking about the moment I hit the table.
What is in your horizon of competitive eating contests that we can look forward to?
You can look forward to December 10th, the Maritano Meatball Masters. Steve Maritano makes a giant meatball. You got to use a fork. That one's in Hollywood. That one's down in Florida this year, not Vegas. The Isle, Biloxi, Isle of Capri Casinos has done about 11 events. On Elvis's birthday, they do a peanut butter and banana eating sandwich. That'll be January 7th in Biloxi.
Sounds good,
it is good. It's the third year they've had it. I've done 19 in 8 minutes. It's a fun one. Elvis always shows up. That's the nice thing, is he's a big competitive eating fan. So I look forward to those events, but really I'll be in Thailand, in Bangkok, eating shrimp wontons again. I'll improve upon my number. 115 is good, but Enshang Shek and Helen Tang, the amateur champions from Singapore this year, they either beat me or almost beat me. So I need to up my level of game because the world is getting better as a competitive eater.
What's your fantasy challenge, the food and the competitors that you would love to crush?
All right. I would take Joey Jaws Chestnut on, the number one eater in the world, in corn on the cob, because I can beat him in corn on the cob. He won't come. He stays out in Stockton, California on the same weekend and wins his, what, eighth championship in a row? Joey, come to Florida, you and me, head-to-head with other eaters, meaning Notorious B.O.B. is pretty good, but I've won corn, I've lost corn, I know corn.
You heard it here first. It's a showdown. I think we should make it happen.
I would like to see him do it. He won't do it. He's going to stay comfortable in Stockton eating 8.8 pounds of deep-fried asparagus, which tastes delicious. I've been there. I've come and forth there. But he's from San Jose. He just wants to go out with Matt Megatoad Stoney and the rest of the gang.
I think I've watched him on YouTube, like, eating corn on the cob. It is not an easy... That is a very hard thing to eat.
I use the manual typewriter. I don't make the ding sound. There's a lot of techniques. Notorious B.O.B. used the rake. Got a pretty swollen lip. It's a tough discipline.
What's the hardest thing you've ever eaten?
Hardest thing is hot dogs and buns.
What's with dunking?
You got to dunk. You got to dunk your bread in the liquid of your choice. Oh. Tim Eater X Janis revolutionized the alternative beverage movement, where he pairs the garlicky goodness of a Nathan's hot dog with a sweet beverage, because he likes sweets. But the top guys generally use hot beverages. It keeps the system loose, all the internal muscles you're working, and it helps break down the food a little bit.
Wow. I don't know if I can look at a hot dog the same way again.
You should just enjoy maybe two casually.
I think I have a lot to learn, but yeah, if you want to learn more about Crazy Legs Conti, you should check out the documentary made about him, Crazy Legs Conti and the Zen and Art.
The Zen and Art of Competition. It's a long, because I never get to talk. My mouth is always full. They went with a very long title, but it's on Netflix. You can buy, the copies are pretty cheap by now. You can probably get one for $4, but just watch the DVD extras.
And your website?
Is crazylegsconti.com. I don't do a lot of social networking. I don't have Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, Friendster, but I do answer. I don't have a staff. I answer all my emails myself, and I encourage people to email me there.
Well, we look forward to more competitive eating from you in the future. So thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
Thanks to Jack Inslee, the rest of the crew at Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Helen Holliman. Thanks to Roberta's. See you next time.
And get some meat, turkey and jam, macaroni and ham. Say, do you like steak? I can surely make.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.